For ease of listening, footnotes and scriptural citations included on the print version are omitted from this audio version. Divine Healing. As the omnipotent Creator, God has made provision for every need of human beings, including healing of the physical body. Disease, pain, and death entered the world when Adam and Eve sinned. However, in His atonement on Calvary, Jesus provided for our healing as well as paying the penalty for our sins. The prophet Isaiah foretold, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." The word translated griefs is used in reference to physical sickness and disease in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12, chapter 21, verse 15, and verses 18 through 19, and Isaiah chapter 38, verse 9. Sorrows is used in Job chapter 33, verse 19 to denote physical pain. So this verse could be translated, "Surely He hath borne our sicknesses and carried our pain." Isaiah continues, "But He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." The verb healed, meaning to mend or cure, has a connotation of being made whole. While the prophet saw Christ's future suffering in such clarity that he spoke of it in the past tense, he indicated that with His stripes we are healed, the verb tense reflecting an ongoing or continuing action. In the New Testament, Peter quoted from Isaiah's prophecy, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, by whose stripes ye were healed." In stating that Jesus' stripes brought healing, Peter used the Greek word eaomai. In the vast majority of cases where this word is used in the New Testament, it indicates physical healing. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 17, Matthew also quoted from Isaiah's prophecy, "They brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities, and bare our sicknesses." Matthew simply recorded that Jesus fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy by physically healing the sick, giving proof that both Isaiah and Peter were talking about physical healing. Matthew used two specific words to make clear this truth. Infirmities, from the Greek word asthenios, meaning the consequences of sickness, and diseases, from the Greek word nosous, meaning sicknesses. The Old Testament contains many references to God's power and willingness to heal. God gave the first recorded promise of a divine healing soon after He brought the Israelites out of Egypt, telling them, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," and He subsequently undertook for them many times. When the children of Israel sinned and God sent poisonous snakes among them as punishment, Moses was commanded to make a bronze serpent and to lift it up on a pole so that those who had been bitten could look upon it and be healed. Many other miracles of healing and even raising of the dead are recorded in the Old Testament. For example, a dead child was restored to life through the prayer of Elijah. Naaman the leper received healing when he obeyed Elisha's command to wash 7 times in the Jordan River. God healed King Hezekiah in response to his prayer and added 15 years to his life. In Psalm 103, the psalmist David gives praise for the fact that God healeth all thy diseases. In other psalms, too, both physical and spiritual healing are referenced as coming from God. In the New Testament era, much of Jesus' ministry on earth involved healing those who were physically afflicted. Miracles of healing were an important part of the works God sent Jesus to do. Jesus' miracles authenticated His teaching and preaching, showing that He truly was from God. After John the Baptist was imprisoned, he began to experience doubt as to whether Jesus really was the promised one. Jesus responded by calling attention to the fact that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. John knew that these miracles were the very acts that the prophets had said the Messiah would do. As word of Jesus' ministry spread, multitudes came to hear him and to be healed. He never turned any away, but healed them all. He cleansed the lepers, restored sight to the blind, gave hearing to the deaf, and speech to the mute. He cast out devils, cured fevers, and even raised the dead. No sickness or disease was beyond his ability to cure. Divine healing continued to be an integral part of the gospel through the ministry of the early church. Jesus sent out the 12 and later 70 of his disciples to preach and to heal the sick. Just before his ascension, he promised, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." The disciples were to take God's message into all the world, but it had to be in his name, according to God's character and will. Requests made in his name today, including those for healing, must align with his desires and eternal purpose for each individual. We live in a world where evil impacts the health and welfare of all. The fall brought upon mankind the realities of sickness, aging, accidents, and other physical calamities. Intemperate living and sinful lifestyles have led to human illness in many forms. Addictions, diseases, some types of mental and emotional disturbances, stress-related conditions, etc. However, even those who serve God are not immune to disease and affliction. Although the Apostle Paul was a man of faith and spiritual power, he endured affliction. Paul prayed 3 times for the removal of his thorn in the flesh. God refused, but he let Paul know that the trial would be accompanied by his enduring grace. Sickness can be the result of judgment or of the activity of Satan. However, there are numerous other reasons given in Scripture for why affliction occurs. A study of Jesus' healing ministry reveals some requirements for receiving healing. In most cases, a desire to be healed is expressed either by the individual himself or by the one bringing that person to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 through 34, we read that 2 blind men sitting by the wayside heard that Jesus was passing by and cried out to him for mercy. Jesus stopped and asked them, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" When they responded that they wanted their eyes to be opened, he had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. A desire for God's divine intervention must be accompanied by a belief that God is able to heal. When Jesus was approached by a Roman centurion on behalf of his servant who was grievously tormented, he agreed to come and heal the servant. However, the centurion indicated that if Jesus would just say the word, he knew his servant would be healed. Jesus commended the centurion's faith, saying, "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." The servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The Bible makes it clear that faith in God must also be accompanied by a willingness to obey him. Many times Jesus required people to take an action that would demonstrate their obedience to him before healing them. For example, a blind man was told to wash in the pool of Siloam, and the 10 lepers were told to go and show themselves to the priests. In James chapter 5, verses 13 through 14, God's word gives instructions for those who are afflicted. We read, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It is instructive that the Bible puts the burden on the sick person to approach the ministry and request prayer. The afflicted individual takes the first step by indicating a desire to follow God's word in this matter. The process outlined in these verses is clear. As ministers, we are instructed to anoint the sick individual with oil. The oil has been consecrated by prayer, and the anointing is done in the name of the Lord in obedience to His word. We take a bit of oil on a finger and put it on the sick individual's forehead. We place a hand on the head of the one who has come for prayer and offer a simple, audible prayer asking God to undertake. As we look heaven's way, we submit to God's will in peaceful assurance that whatever He does will be for the sick person's ultimate good. There may be times when healing does not come because of a spiritual hindrance. Scripture indicates that a lack of faith, the need for prayer and fasting, sin in the life, or praying with a wrong motive can stand in the way of an answer to prayer. Yet, a lack of instant healing is not necessarily an indication that any of these conditions exist. It may be that instantaneous healing is not the will of God in a particular case. While we do not know how God will answer in each situation, Scripture indicates that extraordinary cures will occur. God will be glorified by the healing of bodies. James concludes his instructions by saying, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." If a sick person's heart is reaching God's way, and he confesses his sins, God promises to forgive. God can, and often does, heal miraculously without any human intervention. Or, doctors and medical treatment may assist the natural healing power invested in the human body by the Creator. No matter what God ordains in each situation, it is the privilege of afflicted believers to look to Him in faith as their healer. Counsel for ministers. Belief in the Bible doctrine of divine healing does not oppose nor compete with professional medical care. The acceptance or refusal of medical assistance is a personal choice, not a Bible doctrine. As ministers, it is not our role to offer advice regarding the utilization or refusal of professional medical care. The church may be held legally responsible if the minister either preaches or counsels that one should not have medical treatment, especially when a minor is involved. It is true that the Bible indicts King Asa because, when he was afflicted, he sought not to the Lord but to the physicians. However, King Asa had previously sought help from Syria in an act of unbelief and disobedience. He was condemned because he refused to seek the Lord, not because he solicited the assistance of physicians. We are to support and pray for one who seeks medical care, just as we support and pray for one who decides not to obtain medical care. Choosing professional medical assistance cannot be automatically viewed as an indicator that one is abandoning God. As ministers, we pray for the sick with anticipation that God will heal, and if they remain sick, that God will encourage their faith as they continue to rely upon Him. We also gain nothing by speaking in a disparaging manner of the medical profession and the care they do their best to provide. We must be careful when preaching the Bible accounts of the physically and mentally impaired that we in no way disrespect members of our audience who have physical or mental handicaps. If we lack sensitivity, we risk causing great offense by referring in a negative manner to individuals with physical or mental disabilities.